Hey, Heather here. Designed to empower individuals to be their best self, the Ron Kitchens Always Forward Leadership Podcast brings fresh understanding to the issues today's leaders are facing and equips them with new perspectives and resources to lead forward. Welcome to today's conversation with Ron Kitchens and Brad Lominick.
Hey, thank you for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Ron Kitchens with my co-host, sidekick, the Honorable Brad Lominick. Brad, thanks for being here.
The Honorable. I feel like a judge.
Yeah.
Or an ambassador.
At a pie eating contest.
By the way, if you were an ambassador to any country, what country would you want to be the ambassador to on behalf of the United States of America?
Great Britain.
Oh, good one.
I'd love to be that. Or a place that traditionally we have not had a great relationship with. You know, I've said before, I'd love to be an ambassador. I think that would be one of the great things to be able to represent your country in a way that speaks to our highest aspirations as a people. And I've known a few ambassadors. So I actually got to have dinner once at a hunting cafe with two ambassadors, a woman named Ann Armstrong and Shirley Temple Black.
Okay.
Both had been ambassadors to Great Britain. Both were elderly women who had been quail hunting on the ranch where Dick Cheney shot the guy.
No way.
That's the Armstrong Ranch. It was a different day, but
is there some kind of bronze they put up with Dick Cheney getting shot in the backside?
Yeah, I don't think they talk a lot about that. So I've gotten to meet a few ambassadors through the years, and I think it's one of those great things.
I think you'd be a great ambassador, Ron. I'm going to put that in as one of my goals is to...
Once you're president.
Once I'm president, I'm going to make you the ambassador of Great Britain.
I'll accept the honor.
Yeah, or you'll be my United Nations representative. Although United Nations at that point will probably have been dismantled based on where we're going currently.
Yeah, I worked for, early in my career, a guy named Jack Danforth, Senator John Danforth. And Jack was the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations under President Bush, under W., early in the administration. So I'll take that role too. I know exactly who to call ask about it.
You've already got connections here.
Yeah,
I think this is going to happen.
I think I'd have more level success than I do knowing all these people.
Right now you're the ambassador to Kalamazoo.
There you go. And you are the guru of cool. So we have these titles.
Man, the guru of cool. I'm going to put that on my t-shirt.
Yeah, there you go. Your business cards. And
Yeah.
So, you know, we're talking today about staying strong. So it's early September. We're coming off summer schedules and, you know, a lot of people, you know, use summer for reconnecting with family and their vacations in there. And if you're lucky enough, you get to go camping somewhere or you get to go spend some time kind of decompressing, creating breathing room in your schedule. But for us and our organization and our lives, you know, one of the really hard things, hard's a relative term, but this begins a season that lasts till Thanksgiving, where it is long, long days. And so, you know, for our organization, we talk multiple times every week. We just have to get to Thanksgiving. And after that, it'll slow down. But there is nothing slow about it until then. You know, how have you, and you've been in organizations where everything was about a season.
Yeah.
How have you adjusted to that? What's that been like for you?
Well, I do think it's seasons. And actually, one of the things that I think is healthy for organizations is when you feel like as a team or as an organization, you do have these points where you're able to stop and rest or breathe. And you remember going to school when you were growing up, you always look forward to those breaks, you know, so you know, in the fall, you've got Christmas break coming up, and then you know, you got spring break coming up in the spring, and then you got summer break. And I think that was a healthy thing for a lot of growing up, was that I could look forward to those. And then once you came back, which may be the real advantage, once you came back, you were motivated. You were inspired.
Energy.
Exactly. Yeah. So, because when you came back in August or September to start school over, you got the new school outfit, you got your new lunchbox, you got your new trapper keeper. I'm really going back on that one. But there was that sense of, I'm motivated to get back in school. I'm motivated to start fifth grade now, or sixth grade, or seventh grade. And for a lot of businesses or companies or employees, they never have these start-stop moments. And I heard Jason Fried, who wrote the book Rework and 37 Signals is his organization, and he started Basecamp. And I've heard him talk about this issue of healthy rhythm as an organization is a really positive thing to build into the fabric of your schedule as an organization. You know, one of the things that I guess I'm recommending here is allow for there to be these finish lines that you create, and also allow for there to be these sort of places where you feel like you're going to take a break and you're going to come back from that and actually like be more motivated. And it's not just vacation time, because vacation is one of those things, but you might have four or five things throughout the year that then become that season, that schedule, those moments of margin that you can look forward to. Hey, we got there. We got all of our goals accomplished by then. We hit all of our deadlines. We're going to take a 2-week break. And, you know, Christmas has become that now.
It has.
I mean, everybody, for the most part, from December 20th to January 4th, those 2 weeks, now almost every organization out there takes that time. And even if they're not off, they're at least like really scaled back. They've got this mentality of, we're going to catch up on things. We're going to allow the organization to rest. We're going to come back hard, you know, the first week of January. So I think just building more of those in is a positive thing.
You know, something though that's helped us too, not only knowing when the rest is, but knowing when the schedule is so full that the answer is no to everything else.
Yeah, it's good.
Because I tend to be somebody who worries a lot about famine. I worry a lot about, if I say no to this, what if they never call and offer me that again? Hmm. What if this is the last chance we have at something like this? And so we've clearly defined that there are seasons where no one has the right to say yes to anything else, that we have so utilized our time. And I've talked on this podcast and written about it. You know, I'm using an Excel spreadsheet to manage my time, just like my family budget, just like our corporate budget. I'm budgeting, managing time by the week. And actually, I have every week broken down managing that. And there are weeks that I'm so overcommitted by things I can't control that I can't allow anything new in, because it would be so unsustainable that others would suffer. So we've kind of built that as an organization that we just will not add or say yes to anything, including we have seasons of the year that we don't hire people at all because we know we can't onboard them.
Right.
Doesn't matter what our pain is, we will not have enough time and capacity to onboard somebody well. And so we're just going to tough it out and go on and then bring them on in certain seasons of the year where we've got capacity. So it means that, you know, we had a particular position that took us a year to fill because we just couldn't find the right person in the right season. And we stopped in other times. So
yeah,
I think it's
good.
As important to know what you're going to say no to as what you're going to say yes to.
Well, and finding those points too of celebration in terms of staying strong and continuing in a place of strength. You don't have to celebrate as much when you're starting, but when you're continuing, when it feels like drudgery, when the process now is the defining part of the journey compared to, it's like being on a marathon race, right? You know, mile 13 is awful. Mile 14, 15, awful. Mile 18, you're starting to feel like, okay, I'm on the other side of this. Now, mile 20 through 26, you're grunting it out, but you know that the finish line is, you're soon to be seeing it around the corner. But mile 13 is really hard. And what you have to create as a leader in those moments in the middle of the process is find some hook points that are memory makers, that are celebration moments. And for you, it feels like sideways energy many times because you think this is a distraction. Why am I worried about this? You know, because you're intense and you're focused. That's why you're in charge. But the rest of the team is looking around going, please give me something to look forward to at, you know, October the 12th. In the middle of the 3 months of intensity from August to Thanksgiving. And that could be a small little celebration. It could be a, hey, we're going to go to Dave and Buster's and we're going to go play skee ball for 2 hours. We're going to have a kickball tournament outside in the parking lot. You know, we're going to, whatever that is, go to the batting cages. But you have to create those moments that people can look forward to, because otherwise it becomes drudgery.
No, I think you're dead on. And we talked in the last episode of the Always Forward Leadership Podcast about being mindful. And here's an example of leaders got to be mindful of those seasons. And one of the hard things for us right now is that we've got, because of the diversity of our team in terms of what their roles are, we're finding that some people's busy seasons are different than others' busy seasons. So as an organization, we've got to make sure that everybody knows what that looks like. And so one of the things we do is every Monday, everybody on our team, and that's about 30, 34 people right now, they're meeting and talking about their schedule for the week. So people begin to understand what others' rhythms are. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'm dead for the next 3 weeks. I assume you were. I didn't realize you have no time for me. And so it has created this idea that as an organization, we've got to be incredibly in tune with recharging people, in supporting each other, in celebrating those victories. So every Friday, again, all the teams together at 8:05 in the morning. If you call our offices, we will not answer the phone at 8:05, so don't get bummed out. But, you know, on Fridays, it's so you say thank you to other people in the room. I think I actually have a thank you note laying on my desk somewhere. Yeah, that Damon on our team sent me last week. We call them catalations. So you're thanking them for something you saw them do, a leadership moment. You're just lifting people up and you read it publicly to them. You acknowledge them, but then you finish with, here's the best thing for my week this week. We call it your ring the bell moment. What are you going to ring the bell for yourself about? You know, I finished a major project. I had an announcement. My kid won the spelling bee. What's that thing this week that we should celebrate with you? Those things are really impactful because you begin to gain knowledge of what other people value so you can support that value.
That's good. Well, margin is so important, right? Margin is so many times the fuel, talking about staying strong and finishing and even starting strong. And the understanding that as a leader, what we feel like many times is a badge of honor when somebody says, hey, how you doing? And our response is, oh, I'm so busy. I've never been this busy. This is the most intense time ever. That feels like we're important.
My standard is more than I can say grace over.
Yes. And
so I can be a little religious with that. It'll be a little, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the idea of staying strong and persevering and the continuous sort of, you're plodding at a steady pace and you're healthy and you have rhythm, is that you've built margin into the system. Because margin is a good thing. You know, margin for a business gives you opportunity to invest in new things. Margin as a family gives you memory moments. You know, margin as a friend, you're able to respond to things that are put in front of you that you may have not actually been counting on, but you have enough room to say, you know what? Like, I can now like come over and help you because of the stage you're in. And so, you know, with your calendar, again, Jason Fried, it feels like that he's now my source of all things as it relates to calendaring and scheduling. But the other day I noticed he had posted a blog about his calendar and he put a picture of his calendar for that month on the 37 Signals blog page. And there was nothing on his calendar. And his point was, this is on purpose. Like, I have built my ability as a leader to respond to things into the system. Now, can everybody do that? No. But, you know, you may need to cut back on all the things that you feel like you're important because you're filling up your schedule compared to, you know, I've got 3 hours in the day that I can respond to stuff. And that's where you're healthy, is when you are able to have enough room in the schedule to be responsive and not just be reactive.
You hit on some gold there, and I never really thought about it this way. You know, we talk about in business and, you know, in not-for-profit world of no margin, no mission. So we mean profit.
Right.
So if we don't have this profit, if we don't have this margin between revenue and expenses, then we have no ability to have a mission. But, you know, I don't know that I ever really thought about that in terms of calendar. without a margin in my calendar, then I have no real ability to impact the mission and the bottom line.
Yeah. And every parent knows this is true. Your kids don't care that your calendar's full. They just want you to respond to go outside and play catch in that moment. And if you don't have margin, then you're always going to say, well, I can't. I'm too busy. I've got this going on. And that's your issue. Like, you can lead on that and you can actually manage in a way that's more intentional around building margin in.
Well, I think if leaders take nothing else today out of that, I think they've got to remember that, you know, there's no one else who was put on the earth to take care of your family and yourself except you. And you can only do that with an intentionality to stay healthy, to create capacity and create margin. And we thank you for letting us be on that journey with you today. And thank you, as always, for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.